This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we have two guests in the studio. We're going to talk about a lot of topics involving healthcare IT. I know that's in the news, top of mind for many listeners. Today in the studio we have Ravi Kurian, Vice President, Federal Health at Sapient. David Blackburn, Director of Business Development, Federal Health at Sapient as well. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning, John.
Kind of a cold morning, but we're going to talk about a hot topic, healthcare IT and the federal government and about a group called HIMSS and a bunch of different topics. But before we begin, perhaps we can get off the audience, find out what your background is. Ravi, what is your background, please?
When I went to college, I went to study hotel and restaurant management and thought I was going to be a chef.
Your wife probably hopes you are a chef, huh?
Well, I discovered I could be a decent line cook, but probably not a chef. Didn't have enough of a creative palate to do that. So I decided to move into consulting, and that's what I've been doing for the past 20 years or more.
Well, David, you're not a chef, are you? What's your background?
I'm certainly not, and my wife can attest to that. My background, I really started in IT 15 years ago, primarily in an operations function, moved up through the organization, and have been doing business development for the last 10 years, maybe the last seven have been in the federal health space.
And heavily involved in a lot of events in the area here, is that right?
I do, yeah. I'm involved in a number of organizations, whether it's Health 2.0 or digital health. Those are the areas that I spend my time.
Well, I want to bring up events because we want to focus the conversation today on an event that's coming up. It's going to come up on January 16th, and it's a group called HIMSS, H-I-M-S-S. And David, maybe you can tell us about HIMSS and what this national chapter is all about.
Sure. So, I know you're familiar with HIMSS. For those that are not, HIMSS is the Healthcare Information Management System Society, and it's a large national organization focused on healthcare information technology and innovation. Very forward-looking organization, and they're really the premier organization in the space. The event we're talking about here is being put on by the National Capital Area Chapter. So that's the DC chapter of HIMSS. It's about 600 members, primarily a mix of federal government, nonprofit, some academia. The event on January 16th is entitled Digital Health Communications Strategies and Engagement. We have six panelists from across the federal sector representing different agencies that are really digital health thought leaders. And we're going to be talking a lot about, you know, how they're using technology and digital platforms to more effectively really engage with their consumers and deliver the information and services that they require.
So, Ravi, Sapient, boy, I got to curse all the years of studying Spanish, you know. Sapient is involved with HIMSS. They're sponsoring this event. Is that right?
That's correct. And we're involved with a number of events like this throughout the year, including mHealth and other events like that, to make sure that, you know, we are seen by our government clients as active and participating in this area.
Probably what we can do is you're assisting with providing a forum for my listeners to learn more about digital strategy with healthcare IT.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I think it's real important. You know, I read a lot of blogs, I listen to radio, and I try to understand healthcare IT and digital strategies, but it's always nice to get a human being in front of you. Is that right? Get a human being in front of you and go up to them afterwards and go, well, tell me exactly what you think about this because I'm having the same problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's no doubt. I mean, it's one thing to be reading blogs. It's another thing to actually interact with a real person. And the great thing about these events is you can really not only hear from them in a panel style Q&A, but it's There's actually a big portion of the time is spent on actually taking questions from the people that attend. So, I mean, it's a great opportunity if you go there and you have a specific question, you know, that maybe you want addressed, you can really, you know, ask them directly either at the event or afterwards.
You know, HIMSS is a funny word on radio. It's HIMSS, and it's the National Capital Chapter. What you can do is type in HIMSS-NCA.org and get information. Just type in HIMSS. David, the phrase that pays, what does HIMSS stand for? Healthcare Informatics or something?
Healthcare Information Management and Systems Society.
Yeah.
So it's a mouthful.
So Ravi, it's one thing to have the informatics in front of you, but it's another thing to have a strategy to use it. And that's where you fit in. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, I think when we talk about digital strategy, it's really about the fact that we live in a society now that is always on, and everybody is connected to everything. And so digital strategy is really about trying to figure out, you know, how do your audiences access this information? How are they making connections with each other? How do people engage in conversations? And digital strategy is really about taking all of those things together and saying, okay, how can organizations better reach their audiences and provide them the information and the things that they're looking for?
You know, Ravi, no lack of strategy here with the federal government. We all know Steve Van Roykel, last year, probably in the spring, I think, he came up with a digital government strategy and talks about a lot of different things. I'm sure you're familiar with that. Do you work with that, or do you help agencies implement that strategy?
I think we really focus on identifying what organizations want to do with digital, and it's such an enormous topic.
Oh, it's so big.
Digital could be really anything, and so I think we want to understand what their needs are in very specific cases. In the examples that I'm most familiar with, which are really in the public communications framework, we have places like the National Cancer Institute or the National Institute for Diabetes and Digestive Diseases and Kidney Diseases, where they really want to get information about, you know, these acute and chronic conditions out to the general public. And what they're doing is, you know, providing evidence-based research out to the public that's been translated so the public can consume it. And that's what they want to do with digital. They want to find all the different ways that to get this information out, so people can use it in their daily lives.
You know, when Todd Park sat there, the four words I remember was reduce cost, improve outcomes. Those are the four words, isn't it? I mean, that's the whole idea. I mean,
that's exactly
if you
right.
can summarize it into four things, that's what Steve is trying to say. He says, look, he's been at Microsoft, very successful in a lot of technology endeavors, and he looked at the federal government. It's a difficult concept there, but those four words summarize it, don't they?
That's exactly right. Yep. Reduce costs. So in this case, information dissemination. You know, try to take advantage of the scale economies that you have with these new channels that we have. There's something that we talk about a lot, which is liberating content from its container. So not be worried about, you know, keeping content in a particular format, but actually something that NPR has done really well, which is create once, publish everywhere. It's called the COPE framework. And that's really what we're trying to help some of our public communications clients do. Is you know, get to a point where their content is created once, but it's used by everybody as broadly as possible, so that we can get the information out there and improve outcomes with reduced costs.
And later on in the show, we'll talk about the HHS content syndication that you folks worked on to help the folks at HHS. David, we're going to take a little break in a little bit. Tell us about HIMSS, and it's coming up again on January 16th. It's near the Metro in Roslyn, is that right?
It is actually a blue and orange line. It's at the Key Bridge Marriott, which is a short walk from there. There's actually free parking as well. So if you're driving, HIMSS actually pays for that. But yeah, it's 5:30 is what time the event starts. It's $50, I believe, for HIMSS members, $65 if you're not a HIMSS member. But it's a great deal. You get with that, you get not only the events and the networking that comes with it, but they have dinner included and a drink. So it's to me, it's money well spent.
I always have to remember the Metro connection because I have a daughter who doesn't believe in cars. She lived in Arlington once and her car didn't start because she never drove it. And I think it's important that this whole idea of Metro and Metro affiliation, it seems to be important to let the listeners know that, yes, this is an event. It's in Arlington. It's near the Metro. There'll be 100 people there, and you can meet other folks in your area, and you can grab people up on stage and ask them questions. And I just love doing that after these events.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead. You want to go back again? No problem at all.
Sorry.
So HIMSS, healthcare informatics, a lot of concepts involved here, digital health strategies. So the company itself, Sapient, where's it based anyways, Ravi?
We're based in Boston and now have offices really all over the United States and in Europe and in Asia. So it started back in 1991, and we've been growing steadily since then.
More information, you can go to sapient.com, Sapient. Let's take a break. We come back, we'll talk more about some of the applications you guys work with, maybe the agencies you've interacted with, and how you help them with their digital health strategy. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, I am joined by Sapient's Ravi Kurian, Vice President, Federal Health, and David Blackburn, Director of Business Development, Federal Health at Sapient. Welcome back to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This morning, we have double trouble. We have two guests in the studio talking about digital health strategies and how agencies can implement digital health strategies to improve outcomes and reduce costs. Yeah, the four words that I remember so well from interviews that have taken place in this very studio. Today, we have Sapient's Ravi Kurian, Vice President, Federal Health, and David Blackburn, Director of Business Development, Federal Health at Sapient, S-A-P-I-E-N-T. For more information, Ravi, so this is a big fancy word, digital health strategy. Let's boil it down and tell us, you know, someone's driving in their car listening to this interview, so what is a digital health strategy anyway?
I think, you know, fundamentally it's about figuring out how to get your content out to your audiences. And content is really the sort of the life force behind digital strategy. And so the way we look at it is, you know, there's a presentation layer. So what people are looking at and trying to understand, you know, how are you actually accessing this content, you know, whether it's on the web, digital displays, mobile, social media. There's so many different channels that you're using to actually present this information to people. And then, of course, behind that, behind the screen, as it were, you know, there's a layer. There's something that we call the platform layer. And we basically look at that as content management systems, you know, the various APIs that you use to get information from various data systems. And then you're really looking at the information layer. You know, how do you actually get the data that you want to process through the systems and then eventually present to your audiences? So these three things, you know, the presentation, the platform, and the information are really what constitute our framework for digital and trying to get information out to audiences. But all of this, you know, really doesn't work if you don't have content. And content is absolutely what you need to have an effective digital strategy. And, you know, how that content is experienced by people, how it's delivered, and of course, how the organization governs content.
So would vaccines.gov be a good example of trying to provide content for citizens?
Vaccines.gov is a good example. I think CDC has some fantastic ways of getting information very simply and quickly out to the public at large. The National Cancer Institute is leading the way in providing cancer research information out to the public across a variety of different channels, including social media, where they have an actively managed Facebook presence. They have videos on YouTube. They even, you know, old style, they have a call center that you can call. There's a number of different ways that NCI gets its word out to its audiences, starting obviously with the web and then extending across multiple different platforms.
You know, Google makes $43 billion a year with their ads. And in October, they changed the whole way that they design their ads. It's called Google AdWords. A big change was mobile. You know, 3 out of 5 searches now are mobile, and is incredible. And so when you have this information, I would imagine that Sapient would be able to provide some advice to HHS on how to present this information for mobile viewers.
Absolutely. It is the biggest change that we've seen in the last few years where...
Last year, really. It's a huge change.
It's massive. And we've also discovered interesting things like what people search for while they're at their desktop, either at work, primarily at work, is very different than what they search for when they're on their mobile device. And we suspect that it has to do with, you know, what people can see them search for when they're on their desktop versus what they search for on their mobile device. More and more and more people are accessing content on their mobile devices. There's a so-called information gap that has existed for some time, where underserved communities in this country don't have access to broadband and things like that at home. But what we're discovering is that this connection, or this connectivity gap, is rapidly decreasing because people are accessing information from their mobile devices. So just about, you know, the penetration rate of smartphones in this country is growing very fast, and soon it will be saturated. But what it means is that everybody that's presenting information to audiences has to have a way to get that information on mobile screens. And so, you know, whether you use responsive design, which is a way that you're starting design from scratch so that it's screen size independent, so content just shows up and adjusts to whatever screen you're looking at it from, or whether you actually have content that can be accessed on your mobile device, everybody needs to have it. It's become a base requirement.
Yeah, knowing about responsive design is one thing, but then paying for it is another. And that's the concept that you maybe bring to the table is I think many of my listeners understand, well, it's got to be presented different mobile devices, but who's going to pay for it and how can you justify that?
Yeah, and that really comes down to, you know, how important is it to get your content out to people? And there are some simple ways to do it. Often we find that you don't have to, in every case, optimize your content for iPads if you basically just have your screens designed or your interface designed a certain way, because, you know, desktop and iPad, they're large enough screens where there may not be huge differences. But, you know, if you're looking at, a typical iPhone or an Android device or even a Windows phone, you're definitely going to have to make adjustments for that. But I think the trick to much of this is recognizing that there's a lot of legacy information. There is a lot of legacy design. There are things that you can't just, you know, overnight decide, I want to go mobile and therefore be mobile. You can pick away at it. You can take the most important information that you want to present. You can look at your web analytics and decide, well, I can't eat the entire thing, but I can take small bites at it and do it incrementally.
David, you folks have experience with HHS and their content syndication. Tell us about your experiences there and what kind of decisions they made as far as digital strategy.
Sure. So at HHS, they do have a really, I think it's one of the most interesting projects going on right now when you talk about digital, is their content syndication approach, which is really for the first time they're creating these storefronts whereby private, public health, nonprofit organizations can come to these storefronts and can find authoritative information, so information written by experts on a specific topic, you know, whether it's cancer or smoking cessation or AIDS or whatever it may be, but can take that information and can then reuse that information across their digital channels, so social media and web and mobile. And to me, the smart part about this is, you know, there's a lot of organizations out there that don't have enough funds, much less time and energy to be trying to recreate content or write fresh content. And this is a way for them to get access to a lot of great content that's already written in an authoritative way. And the great thing about this project is, as the CDC updates it or NIH updates it, it is automatically updated within these organizations' channels.
So what happens is it's really content syndication almost, isn't it?
It is content syndication.
And so you go to HHS, and if you're distributing a newsletter for a hospital in Chicago, you can get fresh original content from here that you know is good because it's authoritative.
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, the beauty of it is, you know, this is showing that HHS can actually work, the agencies can work together. And, you know, that's been one of the bigger challenges over the years, because there are, you know, each organization that's focused, you know, might be 12 organizations focused on AIDS communications. There might be 15 organizations focused on smoking cessation. But ultimately, they're also able to leverage each other's content this way, too. So they're working together.
So, David, there's, what, 170 VA hospitals? There's hundreds and hundreds of hospitals all across the United States. How would the person in Chicago, let's say, Sally Smith, find out about this? I mean, is that your job at Sapient to distribute information so she knows about this data?
That's a good question. I mean, we're not doing anything work at VA today ourselves, but actually one of the presenters that's going to be at the HIMSS NCAA event on Thursday is John Hale, the Director of Communications for the Veterans Health Administration. But yeah, I know, having spoken to John, I mean, that is a big part of their goal, is to make sure that they are ultimately giving the tools and the content and the information and making their people that are on the ground, who are ultimately have the biggest impact, giving them the tools and information to make an impact with the veterans.
And HIMSS, the HIMSS NCA event, it's got people from the FDA, VA, NIH, and HHS. So it's a pretty wide range, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, we're very excited about the panel. We have, again, presenters from the Defense Health Agency, Veterans Affairs, National Cancer Institute, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. We already mentioned the Food and Drug Administration's Center for Tobacco Programs, where they're doing some really interesting work. And then we also have Adam Dole from the White House, one of the Presidential Innovations Fellows, who's working on a lot of the Blue Button work. So
yeah, that's Todd Parks. The Innovation Fellows are all a bunch of smart folks down there.
They are.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
Great they are. Take a break real quick here. When we get back, I want to talk more about the NCI National Cancer Institute and some of the activities you folks have been involved in. Is that one of your agencies you work with, Robbie?
Yes, we work with the Office of Communications and Education at the National Cancer Institute. That's correct.
So we come back, we'll talk more about some of the success you've had in digital health strategy at NCI. You're listening to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio today, Sapiens Ravi Kurian and Sapiens David Blackburn. Welcome to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Ravi Kurian and we have David Blackburn. They both work at Sapient, and we're talking about digital health strategies. The focus, I think, of the interview today is to let people know about HIMSS, Healthcare Informatics Group. You can get information at HIMSS NCA. There's an event coming up. David, I think your company's sponsoring this event over in Roslyn. Is that right?
We are sponsoring the event, yes. So, right, it's Thursday 16th, 5:30, as a reminder. It's yeah, we have a great group of presenters coming in, and I'm very excited.
And you're going to moderate the panel?
I am moderating the panel.
Get your 15 minutes of fame and everything. Woo-hoo,
yeah,
huh?
That's right. I will hopefully not be doing a lot of the talking. It will be up to the panelists, but yes.
Yeah. Before the break, we talked about all kinds of different subjects. Many of my listeners read blogs. They're tweeted, involved in social media. Is there a blog that you can recommend, Robbie, for my listeners to learn more about digital health strategies or anything that you read or maybe my listeners might benefit from?
So what I've found is, you know, I subscribe to this update that LinkedIn sends to me at the end of every week. And it's a digest of the most interesting articles in a particular week that LinkedIn may think I would find interesting. And what ends up happening is I found that the vast majority of the articles that I'm sent to from LinkedIn, and I don't know whether this is a commercial arrangement they have, goes to Forbes magazine. And I find that Forbes.com often has some really interesting commentary, usually from guest columnists or folks who talk a lot about organizational change. They talk about leadership. And often, you know, in our business, no matter what you do, you can have all the strategies and all these things that you want to do. But in the end, it comes down to, you know, can you have effective leaders, you know, promulgating organizational change? To make more effective strategies to connecting with, you know, audiences or their mission or however you want to look at it. And it comes down to people being effective at their jobs. And that's kind of what I end up following.
Speaking of people, Reid Hoffman's a founder of LinkedIn, and he said, "Who you know is what you know." I love that quote. I would think that Forbes has a good digital strategy is what I think, and maybe they're in cahoots with LinkedIn. But who's to know? David, is there a blog that you read or maybe something you can recommend for our listeners?
Sure. I mean, I'll be a little self-serving here and say that Sapient has a great blog, a Sapient Nitro blog. It's S-A-P-I-E-N-T, Nitro, N-I-T-R-O, blog, blog.com. And, but yeah, honestly, I get most of my information on Twitter quite a bit and LinkedIn as well. So, I mean, I think when you talk about digital health, I spend a lot of time on the LinkedIn groups. I'm not sure. I find that a lot of people aren't even aware there are groups, but there's certainly, when you talk about digital health, there's a great digital health group. Called Digital Health.
The HIMSS group has 130,000 members on LinkedIn. Isn't that incredible?
They do, yeah.
The local group is 800 people, so it's very impressive. Yeah, LinkedIn has over 1.2 million different groups for every person out there, I think, is some kind of a vertical area. And I think this is, speaking of vertical areas and silos, this is one of the objectives behind digital strategies, maybe getting away from these silos, isn't it?
It is. It's really about, you know, breaking down some of these barriers, you know, between channels and just getting, you know, getting your content out to your audiences in every way possible so that you can reach your audience where they are. You know, if someone's waiting in line at the DMV and they happen to sort of browse information about a condition they may have or a condition that they're helping a family member with, you want to be able to serve them their content in the way that they want to access it. A lot of people are now doing a lot of things while waiting in line. This is an opportunity, you know, and this is the way that it's another niche way for us to reach our folks.
Speaking of blogs, my blog is called Tech Tuesday Blog. I'll be blogging about this interview. You go to Google, type in John Gilroy blog, and it pops right up. So it's pretty easy. And I'll take pictures of these characters and put them on there. People listening going, what's that David look like? I don't know. Maybe I'll go to the health event and see what it's all about. I mean, it's always interesting to hear different voices and everything else. And it's always interesting to put the voice with the face. Robbie, I want to talk about digital strategy here. So let's say you waltz into an agency and you spend several months and get a deep understanding of what they're trying to accomplish. You make recommendations and suggestions, but inevitably you have to measure it, huh?
You do. And measurement and sort of trying to understand what you're measuring. Right now there are so many ways to get data and to get information, but it has to be towards an end. So, we always tell our clients that, you need to have, at some level, business objectives. You have this fantastic new website. You have a fantastic new redesign. There's millions of people coming every month to the information. But what do you consider to be success? Just because you spent money on something doesn't mean that it's being successful at what you wanted it to be successful at. So it's important for us to define those objectives and understand how you define success. And then say, okay, now let's tailor our questions, let's tailor the analytics to see whether we're being effective. And often with government agencies, the mandate is to get the information out to the public. We're not often measuring, whether that information is being used or whether we're measuring, the reduction in an incidence of a disease or a condition. We're just saying we'll get the information out. But I think it needs to be more than that. It's we're getting the information out, but to what end? Are people using it? Are people reusing it? Are more people, the extent to which your information is going out is something that we need to look at. And then also, is the information that we're putting out the information that people are looking for? Often we find that what leadership may want to put out may not be what the public wants to hear. And so there's always a balance between, getting the information out that is relevant to the scientific community, but at the same time also dealing with information that may not be as glamorous, but you still need to answer the public's questions.
David, in my world, in the commercial world, we look at personas and we try to find content based on what a persona's interest is. And when you engage with federal agencies, do they use this concept of personas?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, personas is a big part of what we do is try to help our clients and work with them to understand, to Ravi's point, what is their mission? What are they trying to achieve? What are their goals? And then understanding who are the ultimate users of their system. And oftentimes the users of their information are not the same as they're actually trying to talk to. So, absolutely. I mean, personas is a big part of it.
Ravi, if you look at a company like, say, Ford Motor Company, and they want to let people know about a new car they have, the Ford number one car coming out. So they want to broadcast this and get extensive reach. And I think a lot of the agencies that you deal with are really at that level of large enterprises. They want to get information out. And so it's more of reach than actually looking at, in my world, it's called conversions or clicks or click-through rate. So it's really increasing an agency's reach, isn't it?
To some extent, it's extending an agency's reach. But also, when we talk about content syndication, this is one way that government can get information out to the public. And the public may not realize that they're getting it from the government. But content syndication is really about getting content out to different people. So the National Cancer Institute might be very interested in making sure that evidence-based cancer research and findings are made available to the public so that people can really manage their condition and understand what their diagnosis means and figure out how to live with their diagnosis. The NCI is very interested in making sure that its information gets out there, but the NCI would also consider it successful if its content was making it out through other forums as well. So as long as people are getting the information, that's the important thing, not necessarily whether it's branded NCI. And this is the difference. Ford Motor Company cares that you buy a Ford automobile. The NCI cares that you get the right information about cancer. And whether you get that through an NCI site or through a site that's using NCI information, I think that's the important thing.
David, at the beginning of the interview, we talked about Sapient and Boston, the Charles River and all that stuff up there. So you folks have a lot of commercial experience. Can this be applied for my listeners to maybe drive some insights on your commercial experience?
We hope so. And we obviously believe that strongly. And yeah, I would say our clients are very interested in learning from our commercial expertise. And when you talk about health, I think a great example would be, you know, there's a lot of similarities between advertising and the types of things we do on the commercial side. You know, if you want to sell more Coke, you want to sell more shoes, whatever it may be, you know, that's a lot about behavioral change and how do you ultimately get the consumer to do what you want them to do. On the health side, it's a little different. You know, you're trying to get people to eat better. You're trying to get them to take their medications. But absolutely, I mean, the concepts are transferable. And yeah, I mean, we get a lot of people coming to us to say, hey, how do you do what you do? And so, yeah.
Ravi, I've spoken to enough physicians over the years to know that the golden rail is patient engagement. If they can get a patient involved in their care, all of a sudden, outcomes improve, costs get reduced, the magic words here. Is this a digital strategy that some agencies are trying to encourage patient engagement?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's, you know, we get involved in a little bit of that, but mostly it's about understanding that, you know, it's person-based care and also giving people the tools to monitor their own conditions and to take care of their own things and encouraging them to sort of do the things that they need to do to improve their lifestyles. But there's a lot of talk about wearable technology now, and especially in healthcare, this is a huge area where you can wear things that prompt you to be more fit, to take your medication, to upload your blood pressure to you know, a database in the cloud. There's all these different things that are happening nowadays that get people more responsible and more proactive about managing their own health, so that you don't have to run to the doctor's office every time you need something. You know, physicians are able to monitor their patients remotely, and that's, you know, a huge thing that's happening with wearable and self-monitoring health devices.
Yeah, Fitbit bracelets are everywhere. Let's take a break. We come back, we'll talk more about digital health strategies. We are speaking today with Sapien's Ravi Kurian, Vice President of Federal Health, and David Blackburn, Director of Business Development, Federal Health at Sapient. Welcome to Fed Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have two folks from Sapient. We have Ravi Kurian and David Blackburn. We're talking about digital health strategies. There's a conference coming up, David. We'll punch it up again. HIMSS NCA chapter coming up on the 16th. People can go there and throw tomatoes at you. Is that right, David?
Yeah, I certainly hope they don't. I would not enjoy that. But yes, HIMSS NCA, the event is Digital Strategies, Communications, and Engagement. It's 5:30 on the 16th, this really? Thursday, and it's at the Key Bridge Marriott. Should be a great, great panel.
Ravi, what about Twitter? Do you folks popular on Twitter? You use Twitter a lot? You have a handle that my listeners can write down or something?
I do have a relatively new handle. It's called Ravi River, at Ravi River, I guess, would be the Twitter handle. But as far as Twitter goes, I mean, I follow really feeds from the Wall Street Journal and the Pew Research Institutes. Those are the
PEW. We know those folks. Yeah. And your company one is SAPIENT.gov. So it's at SAPIENT.gov.
At SAPIENT.gov. That's
at
correct.
At SAPIENT.gov. Great, great, great. A lot of people listen to the show, and I interact with my listeners all the time, and they say, well, what is that? What is that David Ree like? Is he really a nerd or not? And so I've come up with a scientific test, 10-question test, and I will conclude exactly what level of nerdosity you have by answering this question. David, you go first, and then we'll have your colleague to see who is the card-carrying nerd in here. So, David, first one, how many desktops are in your house today?
I do not have any.
That's a good answer. And how many cell phones have you purchased in the last year?
Zero.
Zero. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do. David Bieburn. Okay. B-B-U-R-N.
Do you have a personal blog?
I do not.
Okay. What kind of online backup do you use?
I use iCloud.
Okay. What kind of a smartphone you have?
I have an iPhone.
Okay. And how many apps on that have you used in the last 30 days?
Well, we just took a trip to New York, so I probably used 8 while I was there.
Okay. And break into your house tonight, how many tablets do I see floating around there?
We have 4.
Four. Oh, that's a good number. You see, you're going to have it hard to beat that one, Ravi,
I have kids.
Isn't it? Yeah. And what social networking sites are you active in?
I'm probably on all of them. I try them out. But LinkedIn is where I spend most of my time. Facebook, I probably should feel more time.
200,000 is what some people estimate.
Well,
that's
Facebook,
a whole lot.
LinkedIn. Yeah. I do make it a point whenever there's a new one to sign up. So I probably have a profile on many of them.
But, and the big question, the last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
It was electronic.
Not a bad score. Ravi, I don't know if you can challenge us or not, but we're going to find out.
Probably not.
So we break into your house this afternoon. How many desktops are we going to find there?
You'll find one desktop, but it actually doubles as a DVR, so it can record TV. And my computer has a remote, is the way that I look at it.
And how many cell phones have you purchased in the last year?
Two.
Two. You see, that's what it's an amazing. It's how many people change. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, at Ravi River.
And you have a personal blog?
I do not have a blog in a formal sense, no. Okay. But I complain to my mother a lot.
We're gonna mark you down for that one. And do you use any online personal backup services?
I think it's iCloud.
Okay. And what kind of smartphone do you have?
When I was a child, I did things as a child, and then I grew up and I got Android.
Oh, we have a little contention here. That's good to know. And on your Android, how many apps have you used in the last 30 days?
Probably three on a fairly regular basis, apart from email and things like that.
So we break into your house. How many tablets do we find floating around there?
Five, at least.
Five. Wow. We got all the competition going here. And what social networks are you active in?
Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube is what my kids use a lot.
Mm-hmm. Last book you read, Ravi, paper or plastic? Was it paper or electronic?
It was both.
Come on now. This is a Washington, D.C. answer here.
So, I mean, the book I have is called The Sleepwalkers, and I have a hard cover that I read in bed, and when I travel, I take it on my Kindle.
Interesting. So I guess it is both. So, David, this is a sports studio. They used to have this little crystal ball in here, you know, the Magic 8 that hand out, and someone threw it at someone, it broke or something. But if we were to give you a crystal ball here and ask you to predict what's going to happen here with the digital health strategies in the next 5 to 10 years, in general, what do you see the trends are?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think you're going to continue to see organizations looking at how you integrate across channels. I mean, I think that's a big push is... more content management, but really thinking at the enterprise level. And I think, you know, I gave you a book earlier called The Little Black Book of Digital Strategy. But I think the point here is organizations have been very reactive around how they use digital. So they'll, you know, hey, we have to have a mobile app. We have to have a social media, YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, whatever it may be, without thinking about it holistically. So I think what you're going to see is organizations maturing and really starting to think about how they start to integrate the messages and those services across the channels.
So Ravi, budgets are being pulled back. Healthcare IT is front page news. People are asked to do more with less. I mean, will a digital strategy help people save money in the future? Where's it heading in the next 5 to 10 years?
I absolutely think that if people start doing digital, you know, in the way that David was just talking about, you know, start thinking about it more holistically, it will save the government money over time, especially when we look at ways that, you know, there's so many government agencies that seem to put the same content out, and in some ways it's redundant. And I think, you know, we talked about the HHS content syndication project earlier, and this is really a way to basically say, you know, we are doing so much, and so many of us do the same thing, so let's try to consolidate that content and have one voice for some of these things so that other agencies can pick this content up and use it. And we'll probably hear this from the VA folks when they talk about it at the panel. But VA is an example of a large government agency that has decided at some level or the other, there are other people that create this content. So we should just take advantage of the content that they've already created that's evidence-based, so we don't actually have to go out and create it. And so if we do digital right, there is a large, large potential for efficiency. So back to the quote that you referenced earlier, improve outcomes and reduce cost. I mean, that's absolutely what digital will enable.
What's interesting is that a lot of our most important conversations take place in the breaks. And during one of the breaks, you're talking about responsive design. And you said, well, geez, John, you know, if you just limit a number of templates, all of a sudden you can make responsive design reasonable or practical. Tell us more about this.
Right. So responsive design, as people know, is, you know, the ability to have a site recognize the size of screen or the size of presentation that someone is going to see the content on. And then it adjusts the size of that site so it it's visible on any screen size without sacrificing the content. And One of the ways to do that is to, you know, people get intimidated. Well, how can I possibly make my entire site responsive? And one of the ways that we look at it is by saying, well, if you're using, you know, a content management system, we can make the templates on that content management system responsive. And then really the huge effort becomes making the content mobile enabled. But in terms of actually presenting the content, you know, the template can be responsively designed. And so the template basically becomes your way to make your site web-enabled or mobile-enabled. But then the hard work comes really in re-looking at the content, because the biggest challenge we have, in, especially in public health and trying to get communication about conditions out there, is that you want to try to get all the information out to the public, but the public really doesn't need to know every single thing about a disease, or certainly all of the scientific aspects of it, but they do want to know what the most important thing is. What is the thing that I just got diagnosed with? How do I manage it? What are my treatment options? And that's the kind of content that we need to make bite-size or consumable. And that's really where the hard work comes in for mobile, is really re-looking the content so that it's consumable in chunks that are mobile.
No, I think that's a digital health strategy in work boots right there. Is if you have a website with 10,000 pages, well, why worry about every single page if you can take and design 10 templates and then force the content to be displayed in a template that's responsive? All of a sudden, you increase viewers and you reduce costs. I mean, this is what strategy is all about. I mean, why have a baseball strategy if you're not trying to win the game? I mean, the strategy here is to reduce cost. And so if you can reduce cost from the beginning, all of a sudden, then at the end of the day, you go, well, yeah, look how we did this. We didn't spend $1 million on responsive design. We spent 1/10 of that, and we funneled everything into a template.
Yeah. And again, as I said, the hard work really comes in making the content mobile-enabled, because the technology is just one piece of it. It's really the hard work of translating content into bite size or consumable chunks.
Great. Let's take a break. Oh, no break. We're at the end of our four. Tell you what, I have about 30 more minutes of questions here. This has been a great discussion on digital health strategy. And I think the focus here is how can Sapien come into an agency and help them design a strategy that can improve outcomes and reduce costs. And I think we've given several examples of that. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guests from Sapien, Rave Kurian and David Blackburn. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and federalnewsradio.com.